So in this episode, I'm talking to David Jackson. He's the head at Farrington School, a school that Benedict House Prep School feeds children into quite regularly. But we're also joined by three current pupils at the school, two in year seven and one in year nine. And two of these three pupils also went to Benedict House Prep School. But then after that, we then speak to Mr. Wardle, the head at Benedict House itself. And so we get his take on what the four of them have been talking about. So let's jump into the first half of this episode right now.
Welcome to The Buzz, the Benedict House Prep School podcast. Your chance to hear from staff, pupils, and the school community. Come with us as we get into this episode right now.
So I've been really looking forward to this episode because we got three of the students at school, but we've also got David Jackson, the head teacher. Hello, David. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Simon. Really lovely to speak to you. I'm all very well, thank you. Looking forward to the weekend as well.
It's great to have you here on a Friday afternoon. In fact, let's talk about that for a second. What are your plans this weekend?
Well, I've got quite a number of plans, actually. I'm heading down to my old school where I'm on the Old Brutonian Committee. So I'm there for a meeting for a couple of hours. And then I've taken the opportunity to go and see my mum the day before Mother's Day, going up for dinner tomorrow evening and then driving back so I can be with my wife and our children and make sure that she's properly spoilt on the actual day as well. So busy times.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. I'm very impressed about your plans. That sounds excellent. David, just for the sake of anyone listening to this podcast who doesn't actually know Farrington School, tell us what it's like. Just describe it to us, would you?
No, absolutely. So for those who don't know Farrington's, it's an all-through school. So that means we have pupils in the school aged between 3 and 18. It's a day and boarding school for boys and girls. I think if you asked anybody who knows the school really well to describe it, I think they'd say it's a supportive and nurturing environment for the pupils to grow and develop in. It's a school that has a really strong sense of community, a real family feel to it. Academically aspirational, Simon, I would say, but equally a school that puts lots of focus on all those other extracurricular activities, on a sort of holistic education. So sport, the performing arts, our Florida Activities Program, a number of which have been in previous podcasts we've done it with you, are all big features of the school.
Okay, all right. So it's great to hear that sort of summary in a nutshell, and thanks for keeping it short and sweet like that. I imagine that some of those phrases are probably phrases that you've said a number of times, because whether it's an open evening or whether you're visiting another school and telling them about the school, then I imagine that you probably say similar kind of things each time. But I'm going to throw something in here for a second. Tell me one thing you love about the school.
I think one thing I love about the school is the fact that I think the pupils are really known well as individuals within the school. I think the size of the school allows for that really well. It's big enough for us to be able to do all the things that we want to do. So whether that's sports teams or putting on, you know, lovely productions and so on, but equally small enough for pupils not to get lost or not to be known for who they are, and so they can develop and shine as a result.
That sounds very reassuring to hear, David. That really does. And in fact, in a moment, we're going to be speaking to some of those students to find out what their view of the school is like as well. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about some of the questions that parents ask you before their children join at the start of year seven.
Yeah, so there's a number of questions I very often get asked, whether it's in a sort of one-to-one way or at an open day presentation. So one question I very often get asked is, how many pupils are there in a class? And the answer to that is never more than 20, and quite often less than that, particularly as pupils go up through the school and move towards their sort of GCSE and A-level classes. I get asked a whole range of other things, though, about what the uniform is and where they can get that from, about the minibus service that we provide. I get asked about what we do to help make sure that the children settle into the senior school. Obviously, we have pupils that move up from our own prep school, but equally, as with the three pupils with me today, a good number that join us from other schools. And so how we integrate the pupils really effectively, whether we do taster and team building days. So lots of questions along those sorts of lines. So I could go on, Simon.
I'm sure that you could. I'm sure that you could. But let's just jump across to one of our students that we got here with us right now. Dylan, you're in year seven right now, but before you're at the school, you're at Benedict House Prep School. So first of all, tell us what it was like for you when you you joined the school at the start of year seven, did you feel nervous before you came in, maybe the night before your first day? Were you excited? Was it a combination of both? How did it feel?
It was a little nerve-wracking, but I was quite excited since I had two of my friends, which I knew very well, coming from my primary school. So nerve-wracking and exciting at the same time.
So it made it more reassuring, the fact that you had some friends who are also at Benedict House Prep School then?
Yeah, it made it more comfortable to go into the school.
And then when you were actually going around the school on your first day, did you feel like you were exploring a brand new place, or was it familiar already?
Again, it was quite nerve-wracking because I thought that I was going to get lost and couldn't make my way to a lesson. But after 2 days of walking around the school, I learnt it very well.
And I imagine that you may have felt a little bit nervous about getting lost and ending up at the wrong place and maybe being a little bit worried you might get told off, but that didn't happen at all, no?
At one point, I went into a year 8 class by accident, thinking it was our RS class, and I got very confused and I sat down and I opened a new RS book, and I was just really shocked. And then I found out there was a different class, so I just went there.
Brilliant. And then when you got to the right class, what did the teacher say?
I explained to her that I had a club that happened during lessons, which usually leads into other lessons, so Lambda. And I explained to her that I went into the wrong lesson, and she said it was all right.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because of course, you know, the last thing you need is to get in trouble for making a small mistake like that. So it's reassuring for other children, I imagine, who are younger than you, and who might be worried about that kind of thing happening to them. And they might be worried about getting into trouble for that as well. But Dylan, you're in year seven, but next year we got Josie as well. Josie, you're in year seven. You didn't go to Benedict House Prep School. You went to a different school. But was it similar for you when you joined Farrington's? Were you a bit nervous and a bit excited at the same time?
I was mostly nervous because none of my friends were coming. So I thought that like I wouldn't fit in. But the first day I came, I knew that it was the right school for me, and like the other schools that I was looking at, they weren't quite right. And it was just like a good school spirit that made me think that it was a good school.
And then how quickly did it take you to make new friends at the school?
Very quickly, because only like tester day, I made a good friend, and we're still good friends right now, actually. And it was very comforting knowing that I had someone there.
Oh, that's really good to hear. That's really good. Tell me one of the things you miss about your old school, though.
Mostly the teachers and my old friends.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. But of course, I'm sure that they're getting on very well, and I'm sure that they're all good. And with the power of mobile technology and social media, then we're able to keep in touch with them. In a moment, we're going to jump across to Leo. But before we do that, Dylan, let's just jump back to you for a second. Thinking back to your time at Benedict House Prep School, tell me about a couple of the teachers that you remember there that made a real difference for you.
I remember quite a few teachers. There's Miss Martin. She was really comforting if I ever got worried or hurt myself. And then there was Mr. Ferguson, who is a great IT person, and he started showing us how to code, and he was just all round a really nice person.
Awesome. And what do you remember about Mr. Wardle as well?
Again, he was really nice, and I went to homework prep with him and another student from year four. And it was really nice, and he was just comforting.
Dylan, thank you for that. Let's jump across to Leo now. Leo, you're a little bit older. You're in year nine at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in year nine.
Okay, so let's just think back to when you first joined. Can you remember what it was like on your first day, whether it was a scary time or an exciting time?
Well, I wouldn't say I was nervous. Like, I was nervous because it was different. Like, I've never had senior school before, but it wasn't that scary as it would be joining a new school. And yeah, I had friends that I knew and I was be in my class with.
Okay, that's really good to hear, Leo. That's really good. Let's just jump back to Mr. Jackson for a second. David, it's good to hear the experiences from each of the children there. Is it possible, do you think, for adults like us to remember what it was like for us when we were at school and to really truly appreciate what it's like for other children that are joining at the start of year seven?
I think so. I certainly remember not starting my first day at my prep school, but I certainly remember my first day being dropped off at my senior school, albeit that was in year nine rather than in year seven, and being a little bit tearful. Partly, I think, because I was going away to board, but exactly the same as the pupils have just described. Within a day or two, I didn't really look back, and it was a hugely exciting, a little bit nerve-wracking, but a hugely exciting time and one that I remember with great fondness.
Tell me a bit more then about how you see the children develop in their first few days and how quickly you see them settle in, find the right room, something Dylan was talking about, not get in trouble for that, but also make new friends and just kind of get on with it.
Yeah, I think that's something that obviously preoccupies a number of the pupils, particularly those who don't necessarily know anybody. What, you know, will I make friends? Will I fit in the way that Josie was saying? But I think my experience of seeing them over those first few days is that they do fit in very quickly. Actually, it's a bit of an adventure as they walk around the school and discover where the classrooms are together. It's a little bit of a team effort. And I think those team building days can be really helpful as well in sort of breaking down barriers and as Phil sort of icebreakers. We even do something back in the June before they start in the September, which is a nice opportunity just to go through some of the routines and so on. And I know a number of pupils then stay in contact over the summer, so it doesn't feel quite such a daunting thing when they start at the beginning of the academic year. So my sense is that almost in every case, the pupils settle in really quickly.
And tell me something about the relationship that you have yourself with Benedict House Prep School. I mean, how often do you get to chat to Mr. Wardle, the headmaster there, for example?
We do talk from time to time for sure. I'm due to be going to visit the school in the not too distant future, which I'm really looking forward to as well. Mr. Wardle's been over to Farrington's and always takes an interest in how former Benedict House pupils are doing in the school, which is a really lovely relationship. We also connect quite a bit on LinkedIn as well. So yeah, we have a reasonable amount to do with one another. And we're obviously at that period in the year when we've got a whole new bunch of pupils joining us in year seven. And so we've been in communication a little bit about that as well.
So I hadn't realized that Craig actually comes along to Farrington's as well, just to see how some of the children are doing. That's awesome, because that's not a case of, you know, if I put it in a brutal way, him doing his job educating children in a prep school and then sort of turfing them out at the other end and then off you go. It's more about keeping in touch as well, just to make sure that they're doing okay. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think absolutely that's right. And I think it works both ways. I think it, by doing that, it means that when Mr. Wardle goes back to his school, he's in a position to be able to talk to parents from a position of strength, knowing that he's been to the school, he's had a tour around, he's, you know, had a conversation with them, whichever people or two it is that have done the tour, and to hear about their experiences firsthand. And likewise for me, it's nice to do it the other way around, to go and visit the school and get a sense of what that environment is like and how best we can then prepare them when they first arrive at the school in September.
Yeah, it sounds great. That really does. Okay, let's just jump back to Dylan for a second. Dylan, one of the things Mr. Jackson was saying earlier on is that all of the pupils in school are known. Is that something that you experience yourself? Do you feel like the teachers know you properly as to, you know, who you are as a person?
Well, yes, because they're my teachers, and when we first went into lessons with them, we played some games, like in geography, we did like a bingo right at the start, and we gave him the sheets so he could mark them and check what we like and say like who our friends are and who we work well with. I know that there's a teacher from Benedict House that moved here, and I don't remember her name or her second name. She was a cover teacher for COGS, but she told me that she moved from Benedict House.
Dylan, what would you say your favourite lesson is that you learned there at Farrington's?
It's between French and English, because in French, Mrs. Jackson is just really interesting, and it's really fun to listen to her and learn a different language. And in English, Mr. Coulthard makes English really fun.
Okay, that's really good to hear that he makes it fun. How important do you think it is that teachers make learning fun at school?
It's very important, because if the students don't find it fun, then they're going to get distracted. And if they get distracted, they're not going to learn anything.
Tell me one thing you miss about Benedict House Prep School.
I miss my friends, and I miss the teachers, and also just I'm all round miss the school.
And tell me one of the things that you really enjoy then about life at Farrington's now that you're there.
I like the way that they have boarding, because I took my 1 free day with my friends from my primary school, and it was really fun. And life at Farrington's just makes my life happy and I find it interesting.
Josie, what do you remember about when you were joining and when you were thinking about, or when your parents maybe were talking to you about which school to go to? Did you consider other schools as well?
Yeah, we considered Buller's, but the some problems were that it was an all-girls school and I have loads of friends that are boys, and sometimes I just like get along with like different genders more sometimes. And this school has had more of a spirit and the classes were like smaller, so the teachers could like pay attention to each student easier, because like in Buller's they have loads of forms and it can be a bit much sometimes. So that's another reason. Also that it's just really nice people here and nice teachers.
That's really good to hear. Nice teachers, nice people there. That all sounds really good. And I mean, all of the schools in the area, I'm sure that they're all great in their own way, but it's great. It's really good to know that you've got that the flexibility there to choose a school that's right for you as a person, because I imagine that for some girls, they'd really want to be at a girls' school, or some parents would want their daughter to be at a girls' school, and that would be a really good thing for them. For you, if you wanted to be in a co-ed school with boys and girls, then that's really important there as well. So that's really good. And Leo, tell me what your favourite subjects are now that you're in year nine.
I'd probably have to say science and music technology. Science, just because when I grow up, I want to do something with science. I'm not 100% sure. And music technology, I just enjoy it. It's fun, it's relaxing, and like I enjoy it. I do it sometimes at lunch. Yeah, I just enjoy the projects that are given by our teacher.
That's really good to hear. That's really good. Thank you for that, Leo. Mr. Jackson, I'm dying to know from you now, if you can cast your mind back to when you were at school all that time ago, can you remember what your favourite subjects were?
I can. There were languages. French was probably my favourite subject going through prep school and even into senior school. I did it for A-level. I didn't like English quite so much, but that became a favourite subject over time. And that was very much down to the teacher I had at GCSE, who was inspirational and with whom I'm still in contact. And history I really enjoyed as well.
It's amazing, isn't it, how, you know, a teacher being inspirational back then has such a difference on your life and, you know, how much you enjoy the subjects at the time. Do you feel like there's a big responsibility on you to be able to, well, to need to inspire the children through the teaching staff at Farrington's?
Absolutely. I think it's fair to say that teachers don't always necessarily realise just what an impact what they say and what they do can have on children, and you know, and that's not just in the classroom either. I think that's, you know, something that we see within our Floret programme as well, because our children see teachers who share a particular passion that they have, which makes them realise that they're not just necessarily a maths teacher, but they might actually really enjoy beekeeping or rock climbing or whatever it might be. And that really helps that relationship then when they go back into the classroom. So I think it's hugely important, absolutely, that they're able to inspire, but also to motivate and to share that passion. And, you know, you can't do that necessarily with everyone. And Mrs. Jackson will be delighted to hear that Dylan's enjoying French. I'll pass that on when I get home this evening. But yeah, no, absolutely.
Excellent. Good shout out to Mrs. Jackson there. I like it. Well, we're going to jump across and speak to Craig or Mr. Wardle at Benedict House Prep School. But in the meantime, David, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
And Dylan, Leo and Josie, great talking to the three of you as well. Thank you, each of you, for your time. Thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So now we're going to transfer across to Mr. Wardle, the head at Benedict House Prep School. Craig, it's great to talk to you. First of all, how are you doing today?
All good, thank you, Simon. How are you?
Great. I'm very good indeed, thanks. Very good. And I've really enjoyed talking to some of the pupils at Farrington's and, of course, to speak to David Jackson. But first of all, I'd love to hear from you about how you find, or what it's like for you when you're listening to a conversation like that, having heard what some of the children have said.
It brings a huge amount of pleasure to hear children thriving when they go on to what we call big school. Because we are a non-selective school, neurodiverse, we take children from all different backgrounds, all different educational experiences, all different levels of confidence, and then making sure that all the hard work that we do at Benedict is then continued in the right learning environment when they move on to big school. Mm. And to hear those children enjoying their time, enjoying the transition, which can be a big shock for children. They're going from a very, very small prep school to sometimes very large schools, that they go and they are there to seize every opportunity, try new things, make new friends, and get used to a whole different environment to what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
When we send children off and you're thinking, right, they're going to have to get around a huge site. They're going to have to remember their physics folder and their hockey stick and their changes in timetables. They're going to have to get used to a lot of different names and faces teaching them. Whereas at Benedict, most of the subject teachers move around to the children. There's only PE where they really have to go outside, and music where they go to the music room. Everything else comes to them.
And of course, just for the sake of clarity, it's not just Farrington School that you send the children off to. And when I say send the children, is, you know, I think we all understand what that means. There'll be a number of other schools as well. But I'm guessing that it's not just David Jackson or Mr. Jackson at Farrington School that you keep in touch with. I imagine that as well that there are heads of other schools around in the area.
Yes, we have a very, very good working relationship with the local grammar schools and the independent secondary schools. So when parents come to see us, some parents will have a very clear idea of where they're hoping to go to. Some parents won't have any idea at all, and they will rely on us to give them the options that we feel are best suited to their child's ability, personality, expectations. So it's a little bit like a maths equation where you've got different elements that you have to put in the equation. Logistics, child's personality,
mm-hmm.
child's ability, parental expectations, siblings, and places available in the schools that they want to go to. So when you've got all those elements lined up in your maths equation, you hopefully come up with the right option plus a spare for parents, so that, you know, we are very fortunate that we have a lot of wonderful schools on our doorstep. But they are wonderful and they are very popular, which also means that sometimes places are limited.
And what are some of the questions that parents might have that they possibly ask you about? Thinking parents of children who are in year 5 and year 6 and they're thinking about which school is going to be right for their child, given the fact that there are a number of schools in the area, what kind of questions usually come from those parents?
Parents will want reassurance that the level of pastoral care that we have at Benedict will be continued at their next school, that their child will be looked after, nurtured. They will know who to go to if they have any concerns or suggestions or questions. And also that the parents will have that communication with a form tutor or with the head of pastoral care so that they know who to ask questions of. They're used to immediate response when they come to us with any concerns or points raised, and that's one of their expectations when they move on to big school.
That's really good to hear. And I imagine that when parents send their children to Benedict House Prep School or any other prep school for that matter, that the child probably has no say in the matter because it's the parents that are making the decision on where they go. But I'm guessing that when it comes to big school, as you call it, then there's going to be an influence that comes from the child as well. Is that the kind of thing that you hear coming from the children who are currently in year 6, that they have an input, that they have a say, that they have a voice for that school that they go to?
Yes. Parents, by the time they are in year 6, will listen to the child's voice more than probably when they were joining the prep school. There'll be different aspects that will come into consideration, more so where their friends are going, also the facilities that the school has to offer. So some children, if they're particularly sporty, we'll be looking for options that they can take. Some of the children who are artistic will look for more facilities within the art suites and DT suites and things like that they're looking for. I think that sometimes there will be unusual aspects that come into it. So, for example, the school uniform or how far they can travel to school, that will come into the element. There are aspects that parents will listen to. Ultimately, the decision comes to them, especially if it's a fee-paying secondary school. Exam results, of course, that's always a very important one.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that it must be a tricky balance for the parents when maybe they've got a clear idea which school might be right for their child, but the child is saying, no, I want to go to this school over here. But their reason is, as you've indicated already, is the friends that are going to that school. How should parents get that balance right between choosing what they feel is the right school for their child against the child saying, I want to go to this school, but the parent can see that the reasons that they're choosing, that the child is choosing, are really quite shallow reasons?
I think that usually if a child is involved in the discussions of the options open to them. They're looking up at the pros and the cons of each school. If you can get the child on board to even a suggestion that the school the parents are suggesting is the right one, mm-hmm. and that sometimes it's saying to a child, if it doesn't work out, if it isn't the right school, then you can do this, but this is the one you are going to try first. Mm-hmm. You know, it is an incredibly hard one if the child is adamant that the school they want to go to rather than the pet school their parent wants to go to are different, then somebody has to be the grown-up in the decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not an easy one.
Not an easy conversation, not an easy conversation. Craig, final question. If anyone has any concerns or questions about this, you know, this topic of choosing which school is right for their child, I'm guessing they can come and talk to you anytime?
Anytime. It's a partnership. We are all working together to make sure that a child who has settled at Benedict has benefited from the pastoral care and the academic support that they get here, is ready to go on to secondary school, and it's going to be a right school for them. And that's something we pride ourselves at Benedict. We discuss things with parents from a very early stage, what their expectations are, what the options are open to them. Sometimes we are in a position where we suggest to parents independent secondary schools they'd never thought about, with bursaries or scholarships, looking at how to go about that, making the link between the family and the school, which is where having good working relationships with heads like Mr. Jackson involves picking up the telephone and making that call on behalf of the parents and opening the doors for them. So that parents have got all their cards set out, they know what they can do, and sometimes it's by going and seeing schools and ruling them out rather than ruling them in.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Craig, we need to bring this to a close. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you. And a big thank you again to David Jackson and the three pupils that we spoke to there at Farrington's. But Craig, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon.
So that's it for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the school, then do get in touch. All details are on the website. Link to that in the show notes for this podcast episode. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. We'll see you again soon.